Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord, we have one boast and one boast alone, the cross of Christ. And so, Lord, let us stand firmly rooted and established within the cross of Jesus Christ, the one who died for us that we might live, but the one who rose again that we might have eternal life in him. Lord, we believe that your word is true. And you tell us that your word is living and active, and so now, bring it to life in us. Bring it to life in us. Through your word and by your spirit, let us see Jesus high and lifted up, and let us be drawn to him to become more like him, so that when we leave this place, the world is blessed. We ask it trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10 this morning. Acts chapter 10, if you're in the Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 918, and I'm so glad to see you today. You can tune in via your YouVersion app, whether you're in this room or you're watching via the broadcast, and follow along right there with us. But you never know what might happen with a long shot. Amen? Anybody? If you have lived in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky over the last 24 hours or so, you have seen something crazy happen, something never before seen happen. And I have to be honest with you, I was numbered among those people who watch about 2 minutes of horse racing a year, but we're experts on it because we live in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Amen? And I had my commentary on what should have happened, and then I read the rules of horse racing and said, maybe I don't know anything. Maybe I ought to just be quiet and enjoy the race. But you never know what might happen with a long shot. Yesterday, Country House won 65-1 odds. 65-1 odds. The one that had the best odds, 9-2 odds, Maximum Security, got disqualified because he evidently broke a rule. And everybody said, yeah, he really broke it. But you just never know what might happen, because there's all sorts of predictions of what could happen, but then they actually have to run the race. That's just like sports. I played football for many years, and I got beat by a lot of teams that I should have beaten. And I actually won against some teams that should have beaten me. But there's a reason they actually play the game, because it's great to look at all of what might be, or all of what could be, or even all of what should be, but at some point they got to put the horses in the gate and open them up and let them run. Well, today we're going to talk about another long shot, but this time in the context of God's great story of redemption. We're going to look again this week at somebody who shouldn't have gotten saved. Somebody who shouldn't have gotten saved. This was a long shot, and this was an even longer shot than the horse that won the Kentucky Derby yesterday. This was a long shot because this was a person who was not supposed to be visited by the Spirit of God. This was a person who was not supposed to embrace the Messiah of God. This was a person who was separated from God, far from God, without God. And yet, you and I serve a God who will reach into places we think he ought not to go, who will send his Spirit into hearts that we think he ought not to redeem. Today I want to give you this theme: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's from 1 Timothy 1:15, and that was penned by the Apostle Paul, that we learned last week used to be Saul of Tarsus and was breathing murderous threats against the people of God, who was deeply opposed to the teaching of Jesus Christ, and yet, through the power of his Holy Spirit, God redeemed Saul of Tarsus so that he would one day write to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So let me ask you a question. As we think about our church, First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, here at the corner of 12th and Chestnut, where faith and life meet, somebody asked me one time, well, who's your target? I want to give you our target. We want to reach sinners, okay? That's about it. Now, the other part of that is they do need to have a pulse. Their heart needs to be beating. They probably need to be breathing some oxygen, expelling some CO2. But we want to reach sinners. That's who we want to reach with the gospel. Why? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. Even long shot sinners. Acts chapter 10. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, so I pray that you would dial in. This is incredible. Let's look at the first 8 verses. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household. gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. There's a thing about Cornelius. He was a Gentile. So if you're taking notes, number one is this. Cornelius, a Gentile, was among that number, and I want to quote Ephesians 2:12 for you, quote, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He was numbered among those people that God hadn't chosen, remember? When you come to the Exodus there in chapter 19, before you get to chapter 20, when God reveals the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 19, God says something profound to the people of Israel. He said, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, listen to what God said. This is incredible. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, God said to the people of Israel. Why? Because God chose those people. Why did God choose those people? Because God chose those people, and God gets to do whatever he wants to. God chose them and said, You will be my covenant people. And it is through that covenant people that God has opened up salvation to the whole world through Jesus Christ. But it started with them. And Cornelius was not among their number. Cornelius was outside. Cornelius was a member of the Italian cohort. Cornelius was a member of the army of Rome. Cornelius should not have had an angelic visitation. That was reserved for those holy people of God. And yet God was doing something. God was sending his angelic messenger somewhere where you and I might think he shouldn't have sent him. But he sent him anyway. The rest of that verse, I want to read Ephesians 2:11 and 12. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians, who also were Gentiles before they came to Christ. And he said, Therefore, remember at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called, quote, the uncircumcision, end quote, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If you go back and read the Gospels and you listen to the way even Jesus talked about the way Gentiles lived their lives, it's pretty harsh. Gentiles did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Gentiles did not try to pattern their lives according to the teachings and revelation of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Gentiles did their own thing. They had their own gods. They were pagan. They were opposed to the teachings of Almighty God. And many times they did outlandish things like sacrifice human beings to appease their gods, even sacrificing babies to appease their gods so things would work out well for them. They would drink the blood of sacrifices. I mean, they just did all sorts of things. They had all sorts of fertility rituals. And they would do things that would seem outlandish to us. If you think back to the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, what did they do? Trying to rouse Baal to send fire. They would dance, they would sing, they would shout incantations, and they would even cut themselves, hoping that maybe, just maybe, that would arouse Baal. But it didn't work. And so that Gentile number is the number that includes everybody except for that nation to whom God said, You will be my treasured possession, although all the earth is mine, you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And so as a result of that, that includes most all of us in this room. We were people who were not part of that chosen nation. But through that nation, God delivered his Messiah to open up the way of salvation to all people so that he would tear down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, and through Christ make the two one unit. And he would unite us in Jesus Christ So that now we don't look and say there is Jew and Greek. We say there is no longer Jew nor Greek. Why? Because all are one in Christ Jesus. And what is God doing here for the first time? For the first time. For the first time in the book of Acts, what is happening? This gospel is going to a Gentile. Now, here's the thing. How many of you have found that often God is about 10 steps ahead of his church? Anybody ever found that? I mean, we're still fighting over what kind of songs we ought to sing in worship. Well, it's a guitar, it's a pipe organ. Well, there's only one. No, come on. That's 30 years ago. God's often way ahead of his church, and he was way ahead of his church here. But in order to reach Cornelius, the way God works is he works through people. And he was going to use his servant Simon Peter. And he was going to send Simon Peter to reach Cornelius with the gospel. But in order to do that, God had to prepare Simon Peter. So watch this. This will blow your mind. Verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice from him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, because what is God doing? God is upending everything Peter ever thought about what it meant to follow God. He's bringing down a sheet from heaven. Peter's hungry, and on this sheet are all sorts of animals that he wasn't supposed to eat, because that was part of being this covenant people of God. God had given them food regulations, and in fact, you can read all about it if you turn back to Leviticus chapter 11. The rule was, if it was a land animal, it had to part the hoof, had to be cloven-footed, and it had to chew the cud. So there were some animals that you couldn't eat if you were going to be among this nation of Israel. You couldn't eat a camel. Is anybody upset about that, though? Really? I mean, you couldn't eat a rock badger. I don't even know what that is. You couldn't eat a hare, and you couldn't eat a pig. Well, the last one's kind of problematic to us here in South Central Kentucky. And we've got some people from Tompkinsville who were back there this week, and they enjoyed some pig this week, and so we praise God for the new covenant. What about seafood? Well, the clean seafood that you could eat had to have fins, and it had to have scales. You say, well, what about catfish? It's out. Yet another problem for we who inhabit South Central Kentucky. What about lobster? Nope. Oysters? Uh-uh. Shrimp? Uh-uh. Not going to happen. How about some crab legs? No, you can't have them. Why? Because God was setting his people apart, and he said, you eat the way I tell you to eat. That's part of your being holy. What about birds? Well, he didn't list birds, but I want you to know that the chicken was not included in the unclean animals, so the official bird of Southern Baptist Convention is okay there. You couldn't eat eagles, vultures, kites, falcons, ravens, ostriches, nighthawks, seagulls, hawks, little owls, cormorants, short-eared owls, barn owls, tawny owls, carrion vulture storks, herons, hoopoes, or bats. No bats. What about insects? Well, if you wanted to eat a locust, you could. And a grasshopper, those were okay. A cricket's fine. But winged insects that have 4 feet, you had to stay away from. Also unclean were the mole rat, the mouse, the great lizard, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. Well, I have no problem with that. But what was the point of all this? So in Leviticus chapter 11, God said, listen to this, you shall not make yourselves detestable with any swarming thing that swarms, and you shall not defile yourselves with them and become unclean through them, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground, for I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. What is God doing? He's setting them apart as his distinct people. And part of the way he's setting them apart is he is giving them dietary restrictions. Now, we can talk about the microbiology, Dr. Elliott, of what most of these things would eat and how clean they were insofar as the molecules that lived within them or the microorganisms that lived within them. I think God, who made everything, knows that when you eat what settles to the bottom of the pond, that may not end up well if you don't cook it well enough. But regardless, God said, you eat the way I tell you to eat because I'm setting you apart. Well, listen, Jesus came along and he ended that food restriction. This is related in Mark chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. Jesus said to them, do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled? Thus, this is parenthetical, this is inserted by Mark, thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So what did Jesus do? He opened the door. But notice that the sheet came down to Peter, and even though Jesus had opened the door early in his ministry, Peter had still abstained. Why? Because that's what you were supposed to do. And so when, and in my Bible, the letters are red, when Jesus says, rise, Peter, kill and eat, Peter's response is, no, Lord. Well, how's that work out for you? Never well. Don't tell Jesus no. It's just easier if you say yes, sir, and figure it out along the way. Don't you call, Peter, what I have made clean unclean. What is God doing? He's preparing Peter to carry the gospel to Cornelius. Previously, that would have been an unclean thing for Peter to do, but now God's going to use him. Well, watch this, verse 17. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I'm the one you're looking for. What's the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Number three, Peter, a Christian, had to learn what it meant that Jesus Christ had come to be, quote, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's what Simeon said about Jesus when he was born. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, for I've seen your salvation, a light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Peter had to learn what it really meant, that Jesus was truly a light to the Gentiles. This is phenomenal. Isaiah had prophesied this in one of the servant songs. Isaiah 49:6, God says, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring that back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This is the outworking, the initial promise that God made to Abraham. I will bless you, you will be a blessing, and in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So it is through Jesus Christ that you and I can sing that Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. Why? Because Jesus Christ has broken down the dividing wall of hostility and made the two one. But I want you to notice Cornelius's posture. I want you to notice that it wasn't just God sending his messenger to affirm Cornelius where he was. There are some people who label themselves Christians today who would say, no, God's just there to affirm you right where you are. Can I tell you some truth? God loves you too much for that. He's not going to come and pat you on your head and say, oh, precious sinner, I hope you enjoy your sin some more. No, he came to transform us that we might no longer be who we used to be. He came to make us new creatures. And so if you hear somebody saying, well, God will come and meet you in your sin and pat you on the back as you continue on in your sin, either they are totally deceived or they've never picked up the Bible. Remember when Jesus was there with a woman caught in adultery? And he said the famous line, if any of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And what happens? They all drop their rocks and go home. Jesus spoke to the woman. He says, where are they who condemn you? Well, there's no one. He says, neither then do I condemn you. But how did he finish that? Go back, maybe you can still catch him. Maybe he's still there. Go back to what you were caught doing. Is that what he said? Not at all. He said, go and leave your life of sin. See, there was a transformative effect of Jesus Christ. God loves us too much to leave us where we are. Here's Cornelius, and you know what Cornelius's posture is? Cornelius's posture is, listen, we're here to hear the message of God. We're here to hear whatever it is you would tell us, and we're here to do whatever we have to do that we might be numbered among the people of God. It's called repentance and faith. It's a posture of saying, my way hasn't worked, my way is not right, my way is opposed to the teachings of God, so I'm going to turn from my way and I'm going to embrace what God has said. Well, hear how the story ends, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Number four is this: God, who is Lord over all, was here revealing a mystery. Ephesians 3:6 tells us that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You never know what might happen with a long shot. And Cornelius was a long shot. But you know who else was a long shot? You. Me. To somebody, you shouldn't have gotten saved. When I first started working at Hillview Heights Church, within the first week, I got an email. It was an anonymous letter, and I didn't have sense enough at that time just throw anonymous letters away without reading them. I read it. And it was from somebody who had known me in my past. And for three pages, all they did was tell me why I had no business working in ministry. For three pages, all they did was tell me why I was too awful to be in ministry. Shook me to my core. You know why? They were right. They were right. So I took my letter to my supervisor at the time and handed it to him and said, "Well, I mean, read it. I don't know if y'all still want me." So he did. He put on his reading glasses. He sat there at his desk that would one day become my desk. It was funny. And he read it. And as soon as he got done, he wadded it up and threw it in his trash can. And he said, "Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that can pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin." The thing about it was, whoever had written the letter was right about who I'd used to be. But they weren't right about who I was in Jesus Christ. And at some point, we have to come to finally and fully believe the truth about the grace of God. It is greater than our sin. Christina, you sing every Wednesday night just about His mercy is more. His mercy is more. He doesn't meet us where we are and leave us there. He loves us too much for that. But He meets us where we are to transform us, to make us new. His mercy is more. Grace, grace, God's grace. I'll never forget it. Grace that can pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And so Cornelius and all the people he had invited, don't miss that part. It wasn't just Cornelius getting saved. Cornelius had a story to tell to the nation, so he invited them to his house. They got saved. And to show that it was the same Holy Spirit that was falling on them, that was the same Holy Spirit that had fallen on the Samaritan believers, that was the same Holy Spirit that had fallen on the Jews at Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, the same signs were shown to illustrate that Jesus Christ has come to save Jew, Jesus Christ has come to save Samaritan, Jesus Christ has come to save Gentile, and the same Holy Spirit will dwell in anyone who comes to Christ in repentance and faith. At the bottom of your notes, I've quoted yet another scripture, Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. To you and me, who've been living under 2,000 years of the New Covenant Christianity, that seems pretty straightforward. To Peter, he wasn't sure at the moment. Sometimes we're not sure at the moment either. But our job is to shine brightly the light of the gospel to anyone who will come, to anyone who will repent, to anyone who will believe, because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. We're going to have a time of response, and during this time of response, we're going to sing, "Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy." Come ye sinners, poor and needy. That would be all of us. So if you need to receive Christ, we invite you to come. If you need to be baptized, we invite you to come. If you're ready to join our church as a baptized believer, we invite you to come. But we all come to Jesus in the same way as sinners, poor and needy, fully in need of His grace. Will you stand with me? And as we stand, let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, thank you for saving Cornelius. In our minds, you might have reached a little further than you should have, but then you had to stretch our minds, you had to open our minds, you had to remind us that you are God and we are not, and that you will reach into any heart you so desire and open to them the path of salvation and redemption in Jesus Christ. So Lord, thank you that you prepared Cornelius to receive the gospel message. Thank you that you prepared Peter to preach the gospel message to Cornelius by giving him a strange vision. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that at the cross of Christ, the curtain at the temple to the Holy of Holies was rent in two, and the way to God was open to all people. Thank you that you stand with your arms open, ready to receive any who will come to you in repentance and faith. Thank you that you don't leave us where we are when we come to you, but you transform us by the renewing of our minds. New creations in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And so, Lord, now at this time of response, bless us that we might be a blessing. And we say, if there's any man or woman or boy or girl in this room who is yet to give his or her life to Jesus Christ, that today would be the day. Who is yet to step into the waters of baptism by their own volition, compelled by the Holy Spirit, that you would give them the courage to come today. Or if they're ready to join us in our mission, may they come today. So Lord, your will be done at this time of response. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that you would be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to pray, some of our deacons are coming forward. Some of our staff are coming forward. And they'll be glad to receive you and pray with you and let you know you're not walking this alone. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy.